welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Wednesday, the 25th of March, 2015. I'm Steve. I'm in Leigh-on-Sea, Essex. And this week we haven't got Colin, unfortunately, because he's away. He's with his boy in Northern Ireland, who plays football every night. I think he's going to be a future star. They'll be listening to the show, and we've got a brilliant guest. It's Ken from Hot Spurs podcast in America. How are you doing, Ken?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Now, thanks for having me on. You're not called Hot Spurs Podcast America, are you? What's your show called?
No, I'm not the derivative of you. It's Hotspur America.
Brilliant. All right, cool. And when did you start that up?
You know what? It was something that I kind of thought up at the end of last season, and ran a Twitter feed for the duration of the transfer window, basically, in the summer. And as it got to about 3 weeks before the season started, I kind of told myself, well, you're either going to do this or you're not. And if you're not, go ahead and shut down the Twitter account. And I didn't start it just to stop it. So I went and got all the equipment that I needed, did tutorial after tutorial on how to do it. I'm still learning. And that's how it got started. So we've been going strong. I do a weekly show. The first half of them were basically by myself. And I've brought people on throughout the course of the season, on and off the show. But now I'm pretty stable with my friends Simon Dodsworth and Sam Zerowell, and the three of us have a blast doing it. It's absolutely wonderful to do what we can to grow the club and grow the popularity of the EPL here in America.
Absolutely. EPL being English Premier League. Got to get that Correct. Terminology in there for the English listeners. So, although I think half of our listeners certainly are from different parts of the world, which is absolutely brilliant. And it, you know, it's amazing if you take the time to have a look at your figures and you see where people are listening from. Obviously, we got our friend Jason in Thailand, but you know, there's sort of, you know, hundreds of people from Australia and all over the place. It's absolutely brilliant. Now, listen, mate, you know, we're a football podcast, as are you. And by the way, you can find your podcast on iTunes, and it's just type in Hotspurs America and you can find it. It's brilliant. It's not like, because there were other American podcasts. I don't know if they're still going.
There are a few I think there is one through the Cartilage Free Captain. It's a rather large Twitter and Facebook page following, you know, 7,000-9,000 people, I believe.
That's Wheeler Dealer, isn't it?
I believe so. And when I've listened to them in the past, you know, I don't know if they really go. It's more newsy. It almost sounds like you're watching ESPN or.
And they talk about all football, which is
fine. All football.
Which is fine. Yeah. But I got a little bit bored with it because it did go on for ages. So I stopped listening to that. But I'll dip into it now and again. But your one is absolutely excellent. You've got some great guests on there. So anyway, everybody go and listen to that. Definitely. But let's get straight into it then. So you got Leicester at the weekend. Thoughts on the game there, Ken?
Yeah, you know, Harry Kane. What can you say? You know, that lad has done so much here in the States to help grow the popularity of the club. You know, people want to grasp onto something that's not really all about, you know, the instant gratification of rooting for a Chelsea or a United or a City or a club like that. In America, we kind of dig the underdog. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So finding a club like Tottenham that's, you know, not soon going to be relegated, but is always fighting, you know, and trying to just fight and claw their way into that top four, trying to fight and claw their way into a cup final. It only goes to show that, you know, when you have a player like Kane who's doing what he's doing this year, it helps the fan base know that there is a next level to be achieved. And when you watch the Leicester match, he did so well at the beginning of the game. But as a squad, it was typical Tottenham for me here, especially the last 10 to 12 matches or so, where we just come barreling out of the gates the first 20 minutes, get a goal or two, and just sit. And when we sit, we get killed on the counterattack or against the run of play. And Leicester proved that. They were a bulldog in that match. Both teams missed a couple of really good opportunities to score, but we had, just as we did against Swansea and against QPR, every opportunity to blow that.
Well, I mean, Eriksen could have made it three, it would have been a great goal. Then Chadley obviously blasted over, which he did in the second half as well. And I was mad at him for doing that because I thought, come on.
Because,
he's been so good this season, and then he unfortunately lost his father, and then he hasn't quite been the same since. I'm desperate for him to regain that form. But just on Harry Kane, it was funny because I said quite famously a few months ago that I thought he was bang average. As most people were saying, he's not that good, and then everybody was saying he is that good, and obviously a lot of people have had to go back on that. In my opinion, he's a superb football player. But his biggest attribute is his effort. You just have to watch the way that he ran about in the second half in particular. He just sort of takes the game by the scruff of the neck and sort of thinks, I'm going to get involved in it. I'm going to chase back. And it's funny because I don't know if you saw Arsenal Monaco the other night, where Mertesacker had the ball with 20 minutes to go, and Berbatov is 10 feet away, and Berbatov literally just turns around and just starts strolling off in the opposite direction. Just like, the defender's got the ball, it's nothing to do with me, and just like walks up. It's like...
That's typical Berba.
Yeah, it is unbelievable the way that guy plays football, as quality as he is. And Kane's the exact opposite, if you like. Not the exact opposite. That's a bit cruel because obviously Kane has got a lot of skill, as he's shown, with a lot of his goals. Exact opposite in terms of attitude is what I mean. In terms of if the defender's got the ball, he's going to get it. And even if the midfielder's got the ball, Kane's going to chase back. He's going to get the tackles in. Very, very similar to Rooney at his peak, running the game as a forward, which is absolutely brilliant to see. Go on, mate.
When we watch the match, and this week a lot of our listeners know we had the opportunity to talk to Brad Friedel, and we had some issues with that. But Brad mentioned vehemently, just because somebody else is wearing the captain's armband doesn't mean that there's a lot of different captains out on the pitch. And when you have someone like Harry who goes out there and leads by example, it inspires everybody else. He said, if you watch a Harry Kane, you will have a player like an Eric Lamella who will feed off of that. And that's why he runs his socks off and tries as he does. They don't train the same way, but that's why he does what he does. Nabil Bentaleb is another one. Ryan Mason is another one. Danny Rose, who's playing out of his skin under the system that Pochettino has implemented, is another one. Yeah. There's a lot of different players out there leading by example. And when you have the guys who are maybe squad rotate, first team rotation players who are a little bit in and out of the lineup for various reasons, those guys are feeding off of that effort. And when you see Harry Kane out there running his skin off every single match, every single week, he is leading EPL strikers in distance covered. You see him in the front third, the middle third, the back third, defending, toe pokes, headers, shots, across the ground from 40 yards and curling the ball in with the inside of his foot. He does everything well, and he's only 21 years old. It is amazing to watch that kid play.
It's brilliant, and he's getting plaudits from everybody, which is great that he plays for Tottenham. So that's really, really good, and it's the first time in about 20 years that I'm actually looking forward to an England game coming up. I don't know if you watch international football. You might watch the USA, but they're playing tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, in fact, they just finished up. Bentner had a hat trick against them, including a 91st-minute winner, and they won 3-2, did Denmark. Christian Eriksen's 50th cap.
They played against Denmark.
They played against Denmark, so that was very cool, and that was the main reason I watched, was basically to watch Christian, not to watch the U.S.
And Yedlin?
Yes, we do. I'm sorry?
Did Yedlin play?
You know what? I don't know, because the last 30 minutes or so, I was in here kind of getting ready for the show. I didn't watch the last 30 minutes or so, but my daughter came running in and let me know what was going on. So we do watch a lot of international football. We're excited about Friday when Tottenham play Lithuania. which is basically what it seems like that's turned into.
Growing up, there was always loads of Spurs players in the England side. There was Chris Waddle, there was Glenn Hoddle, and then it went on to Gazza and Lineker. And it was, although a lot of, Liverpool were the side as I was growing up, a lot of those guys were Scottish and Welsh. You know, Steve Nichol and Dalgleish Souness, and then and Ian Rush, and you know, Dean Saunders and John Aldridge and the rest of it. You know, there wasn't that many good English players in those sides as I was growing up. So it was a lot of Spurs players, and then you know, it kind of faded away. But you know, I'm so pleased that we've got that England back, because you know, I was asked a question actually on Twitter. I think it was by let me just see who it's from, because otherwise he'd have a go at me. Oh yes, Terry Hill. So where do you stand on the club versus country debate? And you know, for me growing up, I was very much an England fan, massive into it. And then I just lost my love for it for a couple of reasons. One, you know, it's not many Spurs players in, and the second one, just the whole money thing and the way that I did about 10 years ago to about 2 years ago, or even up to this World Cup, I actually looked at that England side. I didn't like one single player. You know, yeah. So especially like when you look at the captain, John Terry, horrible individual. The left back, Ashley Cole, horrible individual. You know, Rooney at the time, a couple of years ago, going through all the stuff in his life. You know, horrible individual. The midfielders, didn't like any of those. Just, you know, the attitude, the money, and the fact that we used to go to World Cups and we had a, you know, a good, well, the last basically 20 years, going to World Cups or European Championships, being absolutely dreadful. I think the last decent game we played was in 1996. So it's been 20 years of absolutely dreadful watching England, and totally lost my love for it. Now we've got a bit of a drip of a manager in Roy Hodgson, and you know, I wouldn't mind seeing the back of him, and get, you know, someone with a better character in Harry Redknapp maybe, and you know, maybe get that back again. But you know what, you know, Ken. So the England's coming up. Danny Rose, unfortunately, has pulled out. One little thing about Danny Rose, Paul Merson. Do you know who Paul Merson is?
Oh, we know who that cocaine snorting gooner. Yeah, we know who he is.
Yeah. So what basically happened a couple of weeks ago was he was asked on this Soccer Saturday show. He was asked, someone said about Danny Rose being one of the best left back in the league at the moment. And they asked him the question, and he looked as if he'd just taken a huge bite out of a turd sandwich. now, you know, sorry, you know, how professional are you on a TV program talking about football, kids watching? You know, what the correct response is, well, I think there are better left backs, but yes, he's improved incredibly from last year. Not, no. Like is what was his reaction? Ken, right. Danny Rose, unbelievable improvement from last year. What are your thoughts?
That is probably an understatement. Who did not want him out of this squad or even sold at the end of last year? He was making critical errors. The Arsenal error in the cup match, where he gave the ball away in midfield and it was just a clean run in on goal in the 2-0 defeat. There are a lot of people out there who would have gladly liked to see the back of Danny Rose's head at the end of last year. And you could even notice, we all traveled from Dallas here and up to Chicago, about 35, 40 of us from the Dallas Spurs supporters group, and went to Chicago to watch them in the preseason match. And you could tell then that Pochettino's involvement, how much he wanted them to run. And listen, we played 4-2-3-1 last year, and we played a high line last year, but there are multiple derivatives of the 4-2-3-1 and the way that it's implemented on the pitch. The way that Pochettino has this thing working, it's playing into the Townsends and the Canes and the Danny Roses especially. I think he looks at Pochettino and he has completely, with his heart and soul, bought in to what this man is selling. I also think that Danny Rose is not a stupid individual, and he realizes how poor of a season he had last year, and that if he wanted to stay with this club, as he watches the Naughtons and the Lennons and whoever else goes exit this club who have been here a while, he does not want to be one of those. You know, those guys are not looking to leave. Those guys are looking to stay at Tottenham Hotspur, and Danny does not want to be that. I don't know if it's maybe Pochettino's system and the coaching staff he's brought in, or what it is that's changed Danny Rose, but he has had a phenomenal season. I agree with the fact that he's one of the better left backs. I think he's, I don't want to say supplanted Leighton Baines or somebody like of that ilk, but he's getting there and he's still young. He still has the opportunity. And when I see what he's doing on the left side, I think everybody's clamoring for Walker to be doing the same thing on the right side, because if you have two wingbacks playing at that level, the sky's the limit for the team, because it seems like these wingbacks are an integral part of what it is that Pochettino is trying to do.
Well, here's the interesting thing, Ken. We spoke briefly before the show tonight, and we spoke about how on your podcast and on my podcast, what I like to do is look at the other side. So what we're going to do here with Kyle Walker is I'm going to put my neck out right now and say that I think he's going to do a Danny Rose. For the point is that he's playing so poorly at the moment, and everyone's thinking he's rubbish, he needs to be moved on, he's this, that, and the other. Do you know what? This time next year, I think we're going to be raving about him. I think he's going to look at himself and go, the only way that I am going to improve my career is to stay at Tottenham and work on my game and improve it so that I can... Now, it might mean that Poch might have to come in and buy a new right back, because don't forget that, you know, I think one of the reasons why Danny Rose has improved so much is he went and bought Ben Davis.
Exactly.
He said, listen, you know, we're going to get a new left back here, so it's up to you, mate, what you want to do. And he's improved it massively. So we've got, you know, I think that Poch might go and get another right back, and Walker's got a decision to make. He either stays at Tottenham and a massive club and challenges for the top four and goes to League Cup finals or FA Cup finals or whatever, you know, maybe not FA Cup, but you know, and plays, you know, these massive high profile games, or he goes to Aston Villa with Tim Sherwood next year. You know, that's there is his options. Now people say he's not very intelligent. You know, I don't know a footballer that is, to be quite honest with you. So, mm-hmm. You know, he's got a decision to make. We know he's got the talent. It's up to him. What do you think, Kem?
I think the interesting part is who do you go and get? You know, the Southampton connection is interesting. So is Nathaniel Klein an option? Do you bring someone like him in, or maybe even Janmaat, who's really had another, he's playing another, you know, Danny Rose type season for Newcastle. You know, Janmaat's playing very well over there. So is it maybe one of those two types of players that you bring in to push Walker and make him better? I've mentioned on our podcast, I still don't think he's fit. I still think he's recovering from that abdominal surgery, and he's still not 100%. So if there's something there that says Kyle Walker can get better because he's going to be fully fit next year, he'll have an entire summer off or whatever the case may be, then I hope that that's the truth. But I can guarantee you that there's going to be a lot of, but some people and some Spurs fans that have, you know, watched this team religiously for years and years and years that are going to say, we need to bring someone in to replace Walker and sell him and try to get some money for him so that we can continue to fund our midfield, continue to fund our center backs, and maybe, you know, be on the outs with him. I'm not necessarily in that camp, but my camp is that I don't think he's fully fit.
Okay, cool. Now, you know, all this funding stuff, don't forget we're funding a new stadium, so we've got to factor that in.
And that's true. And and it's another thing that we've talked about on our podcast. I proposed the question to my co-hosts. I said, are we going to suffer a little bit like Arsenal has when they built the new stadium? And now, you know, for whatever reasons, it doesn't seem like even for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, Sanchez last year, maybe a little bit different. They're not really able to go out and buy the players that they really want to buy. Now, I think that they've done a little bit, Spurs could take a little bit of a note from their book and not do that so much. Only implement maybe one player or two players every transfer window and let the team grow a chemistry, you know, between them. When you watch Arsenal play and they're doing the little tricks and flicks and everything is right in front of the 18-yard box, their quality in the final third seems to be a complete derivative of the chemistry, because these players have all been playing together for the last 3 or 4 years, if not longer, in some cases. And at Spurs, we don't have that. It seems like there's a lot of interchangeability, especially when we brought the seven in. And now, you know, we're looking at an offseason where we may be offloading an Adebayor or a Soldado, you know, possibly one, if not two, of the midfielders. You know, we'll see what happens with Holtby, if that loan deal for purchase is going to break down with Hamburg. You know, there's a lot of different moving pieces and options, but Spurs really need to concentrate, I feel, on keeping the core and jettisoning the players that really don't need to be there, that simply are not fitting into the system.
I think that certainly we need to look at, you know, our opinion about transfers, because we've always splashed the cash. And one of the most annoying tweets that I ever see, or people's opinion, is, you know, this Enoch or Levy or whatever need to put their hand in their pocket. It really annoys me, because I think we've always splashed the cash. I'm not just talking about the bail money. People say, oh yeah, the bail money, oh, we leveled out on that. Yes, but we've always spent millions of pounds every transfer window.
Yeah.
You know, okay, there's a handful where we haven't, but pretty much since I've ever supported Tottenham, we have spent so much money. You know, just going back right when I first started supporting, you know, we splashed out loads of money for Gazza and Paul Stewart, you know, which is way more than anybody else spent. And I think we spent the first, you know, 4 months in the bottom three or something. So, you know.
Well, you have to look at it too, like, you know, we made money in the winter. You know, we sold Naughton for $5 million. We bought Ali in for around $1 million or so, if that. And if someone is willing to meet the £6 million for Lennon, then that's going to be 11 really in the coffers. And we really haven't even begun to start doing business. There's a lot of players that could be offloaded to help fund maybe other players, and I'm thinking it's going to be players. One of my co-hosts, Sam, he's in the financial world and his professional life. These transfers and player movements and things that we get involving manpower for the club has nothing to do with the stadium funding. The stadium will fund itself through banking options and other things that he can explain a lot better than I can.
Okay.
But it has really nothing to do with buying and selling players. That's a whole different kitty of money.
Okay.
The problem that you run into, or not a problem, but it's one of the things that they have to take a look at, is you run a 4-2-3-1. One of the knocks on Pochettino coming from Southampton was that there is no plan B. If the attacking 4-2-3-1 doesn't work, he's going to live or die by it. There's really no derivatives that he's willing to go through. We've seen him tinker what seemed to be like a 4-3-3 early on, but it has not come back at all. And I think he is hell-bent with this 4-2-3-1. Well, if you lose it... You know.
Is that because of Mason and Bentaleb? He doesn't want to break up that partnership. I mean, is he... Because in my... I wrote down a little one the other day. Why not go 4-1-4-1 and bring Mason out and put Dembele with Eriksen as sort of two number 10s, if you like... And then Chadli one side, and then take your pick out of Townsend and Lamela on the other side, with Kane up front, obviously. But just have one sitting, because to change the subject slightly.
No, that's fine.
But one of the things about our defence and why it's so poor, I think, is because Mason and Bentaleb are both like the two, as you say, 4-2, whereas, you know, the great. Yeah, that, you know, that brilliant Chelsea side with Makélélé sitting, it was just him, and he knew his job. His job was to protect the back four. Whereas because we've got Mason and Bentaleb, it's like, well, which one of us sits, which one of us goes? And they're both kind of doing the job of staying and going. Whereas if it's just Bentaleb, you know, you don't cross the halfway line. Your job is to sweep in front of the back four, if you like, and then that allows the other midfielders to push on. Maybe doing it that way. You know, what do you think about that? Or don't you think Poch will do that?
You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing a 4-1-4-1 if you do that. To have that solid holding midfielder and defensive midfielder, it almost would have to be somebody, I think, of the almost like a Schneiderlin or a McCarthy type of mold. I don't know that you can trust maybe like a Stambouli, or you're going to have a bigger body. You know, Bentaleb might be the best option, but I don't think he's the right option if you're going to run a system like that. And now you're asking your backline probably to stay back.
Because Bentaleb can't do it, or because you think he's better going forward?
I think, well, it's a little bit of a combination of both. He's so good going forward because he's so fleet of foot. I don't think that he's really physically built enough yet. I mean, if you take Chadley's body and throw it on Bentaleb and bulk him up by about another 15 pounds, maybe, he's certainly got the speed and he definitely has the tenacity. I love his tenacity. Well, I just don't know.
Makalele wasn't a big lad. I mean, he was a big lad if you listen to the rumors, but he wasn't a big lad, if you know what I mean, you know, on the football pitch. Can't Bentaleb be that guy? Or do you need a big old strong unit? Is that what you're saying?
I think if you're going to play a high line, you have to. I think, if you're going to play that higher line and listen, you don't want to substitute speed either, especially if you're going to blow your wingbacks up the pitch. You're going to have that one guy now peeling back with two, you know, are you going to have Fazio and Vertonghen or Dier and Vertonghen chasing back with one defensive midfielder against the run of play against three guys who are burning down the pitch trying to pop in a goal? We've seen it so many times that we seem a step slow, and even Pochettino, it seemed like he called out the players a little bit in a couple of articles saying that Leicester were just flat faster than us on the run of play. So you have to be able to understand that if you're going to play with a 4-1-4-1 formation, you may be stuck with six players up the pitch in the final third, or at least in the forward half, and you're chasing back with, you know, one guy and two wing backs who are hustling trying to get back, but it's already too late. And you're now relying on two center backs and one holding midfielder to defend everything in front of the box. It's unfair to Lloris or whoever it is that's going to be in goal that day. How many goals have we conceded simply because we are defensively inept at times?
Yeah, but Ken, to dare is to do.
We dare a lot. We have dared a lot this year.
See, the thing is, I mean, as you know, on these podcasts, we tend to ask a lot of rhetorical questions and questions that actually won't actually come true. I mean, I've debated Adebayor for months and months and months, and, you know, he still has only played about 5 minutes of a game. So, you know, it's crazy. I don't think it will happen from now until the end of the season. So I think we're looking at Mason and Bentaleb as the two. Mm-hmm. You know, although saying that, interestingly enough, when Paulinho came on the other day, I sort of said, why are we bringing him on? You know, the player to bring on is an attacker, surely, you know, I think it was 2-2 against Leicester at the time. And, you know, he came on and he played really, really well. So would it be a case maybe of sticking Paulinho next to Bentaleb or with Mason? That, you know, and giving
that
you know, what do you reckon on that?
Work.
You know, this guy's a semi-finalist for Brazil. I know he was a substitute. I keep having to say that, but people have a go at me. And before he came to Tottenham, he's a hero at Corinthians. You know, this guy could, if he leaves Tottenham, will probably go to a top side. You know, he won't go to Villa or Stoke, will he? He'll probably go to Inter Milan or somewhere like that. So you know, and we've got this guy on our books. I really want us to use some of these players, and Dembele as well. Dembele and Paulinho sitting on our bench. Surely they should be in that side. What do you reckon, Ken?
I'm a Paulinho fan. I do like the way he plays. My problem with Paulinho is that I don't know. One, I think he is, of the seven, I still think he's the one that's having the hardest time adjusting to England.
Yeah.
I think that he has had a very difficult time getting used to the culture. I don't know if the language is as much of a barrier for him as it was for, say, Lamella or you know, I know Bobby speaks it well, and Bobby has struggled as well. I'm telling you, you send Bobby back to Spain, he'll bag 30, and he'll do it in a heartbeat. There's just something about this league, and I don't know that he's physical enough. Dembele is the interesting one. I've actually been kind of hoping that – it's not hope. I'm hoping that Eriksen comes good. He's played poor. He hasn't scored in 10 games for Spurs in a row, and he's not played well since the North London derby. Listen, I know he's a critical cog, and I'll get slated and raked over the coals for saying that he ought to be sat. Christian Eriksen ought to be sat, and they ought to play Dembele in the middle. I think they ought to play Lennon on the left and give Lamella a shot out on the right. Chadley's played not so great the last few games. Lamella's come in. He is not an impact sub. If he doesn't start a game, he's never going to be effective. So as soon as you see Lamella warming up and getting ready to come on the bench, expect nothing, because you're not going to. I've been watching that kid since he was 16 at River Plate. He is not going to do anything coming off a bench. If he doesn't, you know, grow into the game, he's just not going to be effective at all. Dembele holds the ball up so well, but he's a waste if you play him in the defensive midfield.
Yeah, you got to play him up.
You have to play him up front. Exactly.
Yeah. And give him the ball.
And I think if you have a Dembele in the middle and a Paulinho making those offensive runs and either Mason or Bentaleb sitting back a little bit, and you have Rose going up the left side, I would actually leave Walker back a little bit, because if you play Lamella on the right, he defends better than probably any of our midfielders. So you can have that defensive presence on the right side as well as the creativity, and then let Townsend burn up the left side the way he does and let the defending kind of cover that left side a little bit better. I think it's the best of all options, at least currently. Now, the problem with Dembele, I have never seen a player that is so one-footed in my entire life. If he has an open shot with his right foot, he won't take it, and he will hold the ball up and try to get the ball to his left, or he'll pass. But if you have Paulinho coming down the middle with you, you have that option. It's almost like having two number 10s. And you can, you know, Kane just floating in and out wherever he needs to be, and the two wingers on the side, as well as Danny blowing up the pitch. I would like to see it. We have a good run of games to try to experiment maybe a little bit. The EPL top to bottom, I'm sorry, it's the best league in the world. Yes, all the English teams are knocked out. Champions League, Europa League, all that stuff. But those teams have, you know, those leagues have teams that are elite. And then they have teams that are absolute garbage.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And by the way, Chelsea and Arsenal, as you know, sticks in the throat to say it, they both lost on away goals. And they were both, overall, probably the better side in those.
Yeah.
You know, and if they weren't, they were very close to being the better side.
Yeah.
And so for, you know, the pundits and everyone to go, you know, we're a million miles away and million miles. What an over-exaggeration.
No.
You know, we've been very good in Europe over the last few years. You know, it's not a question of, you know, we're a million miles away and all that sort of rubbish.
Yeah.
Both teams lost on away goals. So, you know, I don't think it's that bad. You know, we I think we'll have to leave the soppy Europa Cup for this week. I know you're you're a fan of it. But, you know, I've had plenty of backs and forths about that over the last few weeks. We'll leave that. We'll save that for another time, Ken, if that's all right.
Sounds good.
Good. I just want to say a couple of things here about some tweets we've had. Obviously, Dan Jones, our great mate, wanted us just to mention the 9 minutes on 9 minutes, the applause for Stacey, and that was fantastic at White Hart Lane. Very, very emotional, and you know, it really was a moment at White Hart Lane which I'll never forget. So that was a good one. The other thing he said was it a mistake letting Lennon go? Because has he hit form? It's funny because, you know, with Lennon, you know, we know what he can do. He's another one who's frustrates, isn't he? What do you think? Would you have him? Was it a mistake letting him go? I mean, I think he'd probably be better than Townsend, wouldn't he? And certainly better than Lamella.
I think that Townsend being offloaded to Everton on loan, with probably an option to purchase, had nothing to do with play. I think a lot of it derives from the row of senior players, the Kabuls, the Adebayors, the Lennons, that all kind of, you know, had that. I guess it was a secret, but not a big secret, about the blow up with Pochettino in the locker room, or whatever it was that happened early in the season.
Yeah, but Ken, I mean, just as we speak right now, who would you most like to have on the right? Would it be Lamella, Townsend, or Lennon for the next game, for example? Oh, man. At those three, what do you reckon?
Wow, that. They all have traits that I love, and they all have traits that just do my head in.
Absolutely. But no, Ken, that's exactly the right answer. Right, so the next question is this. Someone's asked when we're doing the pod this week. That's Marcus Aurelius. So that's a nice comment there. Right. That's fine. Just a quick question for you. You sure. know Harry Kane, right? Have you ever heard of Rodney Trotter?
I have not.
Okay. So so for all the American listeners, if you want to see a brilliant lookalike for Harry Kane, Google Rodney Trotter. Okay?
Oh, Rodney!
Right, you know?
I know Rodney. I watch Fools and Horses all the time.
Fools and Horses. Okay. So I just wondered about that. By the way, Fools and Horses, if there was a vote for the greatest ever TV show in England, it's only Fools and Horses. It would be number one a million times over. What would it be in America, by the way? MASH or something like that?
Probably something close to MASH. Maybe...
Friends?
I don't know if it would quite be Friends. I would say almost more like The Odd Couple.
Okay. That's old, though, isn't it? That's like...
Yeah, it is older.
Yeah, all right. and the other thing is, this is interesting, actually. People in America and Thailand and other countries like that are actually probably bigger experts in Tottenham and the Premier League than people in England because, and I don't know if you know this or not, but we are not allowed to see games at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. So all the matches that go on Saturday at 3 o'clock are not live. Did you know that?
That's disgusting to me.
Did you know
that? No, I did not know that.
Right. No. So at 3 o'clock, every single, unless you go live to a game, you cannot watch a game. That's why you have these matches on at 12:30 on the afternoon and at 5:30 because of this rule that you cannot show a match at 3 o'clock. Whereas in America, and I know in the, you know, all the Middle East and everywhere else, so all the people in the army, all in Afghanistan, all watch these games, all become experts, rightly so. Mm-hmm. Whereas us in England, who do the podcast, we have to get these dodgy feeds and, you know, type in this stuff to try and watch a game on a mobile or whatever. So actually, you guys probably know Spurs better than we do because you actually can watch every single game. It's bizarre to me that we can't actually watch our beloved Spurs on a Saturday afternoon because of some rights or something. I don't know what it is. It's madness.
I wonder what that rule. It can't be just to force people to go to the games and make sure that the stadiums are full.
I think what it is, and this is bizarre, right? It's to make people go to a game. So for example, I live about an hour and a half away from Tottenham. I live 10 minutes away from Southend. So what I'll do on a Saturday afternoon is I'll actually go to Southend and fund them. But what they're missing, the trick on there, is why don't they just make all the other games, like your local games, all on a Saturday, for example, and all your Premier League games on a Sunday, stagger them so you can watch them all on telly. And bish, bash, bosh, you've got your money from TV. You can go to Southend or whoever, Barnet or wherever your local club is on a Saturday. Go and watch your beloved Tottenham on a Sunday. And, you know, lovely jubbly for everybody. I don't know why anyone hasn't worked that out yet.
That's pretty amazing. You know, NBC's coverage is what's really spearheaded the popularity of the English Premier League here in the States.
Yeah.
We can see every game, every week, high definition, no questions asked. The only thing we miss is the occasional cup game because a certain channel may or may not have it or because there's so many and there's only so few channels that you just don't have enough channels to show everything live and you can catch it, you know, 4 hours later on tape delay or something of that matter. It's really disconcerting to me that you guys don't get to watch it all. It makes me feel bad. I really do feel bad.
It is the strangest, oddest thing. As I say, I think it's to do with the fact that if it's on telly, you won't go and watch a local side. Well, the easy thing to do there is just, you know, put all the other games on at 12 o'clock, and then you go and watch the game at home at 3 o'clock, something like that. That would be simple to me.
One of the things it's interesting that you mentioned about Americans having a lot of knowledge about Spurs, and maybe even to a point so much more, not so much more, but maybe a little more than some of the average fans or younger fans over there. For me, it was I've only been supporting Spurs full time for 2 years, not even during the Bale era. It was the year last year following the Bale era when I really jumped in with both feet. I look over to my left. I have a bookshelf. I have about 25 books on Spurs, and I've read every one of them at least once and some of them twice. And my favorite player, just from having conversations with people, the books I've read, and reading his book, The Real Mackay, was Dave Mackay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we woke up that Saturday morning here in the States with the awful news that Stacy had passed away, and at the same time receiving the news that Dave Mackay had passed away. So it was just a very sad weekend for everybody here that supports the club, and I'm sure over there as well.
Well, we never mentioned it on the show. It didn't come up, but just to say, this is my view on Dave Mackay, and I never watched him play. But speaking to the people we've had on the show, Mike in England in particular, who said, hands down, the best. Now, Mike played for several years against Pelé in America at the end of his career, and you know he and for Spurs throughout the great sides of the 60s and 70s, and he just said Dave Mackay is the best, and we all have our best 1 to 11. And, you know, my midfield, for example, is Hoddle, Gazza, Waddle and Ginola. But I'm wrong. I am dead wrong, because the first name on the team sheet of the greatest ever Spurs side is Dave Mackay. Hands down, no questions asked, end of conversation.
Yeah.
That is full stop.
And Roy Hodgson had said in his book that picking the Scotland national team was very, very difficult for him. But the very first name on the sheet was Mackay, captain, every single time he picked a team. And when you're an American fan and you've let Spurs choose you as your club, because you don't choose a club, it chooses you if you've done it right. When you start reading everything, my co-host Simon put it really well. He said, Sam, you got to remember, for the guys like Ken who are just now coming on board, and they're like sponges and they're absorbing all this information from the 50s, from 1882, learning about the lamppost and the cricket team and all of the history that goes along with this club. I explained it, my mind is not congested with grayed out faces of lily white kits running around about a pitch about all the players I have forgotten about. I know last year's squad, this year's squad, and the players I've read about and watched on YouTube or videos or famous Tottenham DVDs, and that's it. That's all I know. So Dave Mackay is as fresh to me as a player as Andros Townsend is.
Yeah.
It is all fresh in my mind.
Chris Waddle?
Yeah, all of them. Chris Waddle, Darren Anderton. I mean, they're all there. Waddle and Hoddle, Diamond Lights.
Diamond
that's
Lights.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah. One final thing, Kit. Do you want to ask me anything, by the way? You don't have to.
I'm really curious. You know, last year it was no big secret that you guys jumped off the air. What brought you back?
We needed to say something. Me and Colin spoke still every week. You know, text each other, and then we said, you know, do you fancy bringing it back? Obviously, we stopped it. There's loads of Spurs podcasts out there. Everyone was saying pretty much the same thing. We was repeating ourselves quite a lot, and then we sat back and watched for about 4 or 5 months, and just thought we'd bring it back. We're still going to do it kind of sporadically whenever we can. Colin can't do it this week, and we'll try and get some other guests on. Mickey Hazard is an absolute gem of a guy. I see him every other week up at Tottenham, and I always say, all right, how's it going? I always have sort of have to say, Steve from the Hotspurs podcast, and he always goes, yeah, I know. But I always have to say it just to make sure, because he's so nice. He talks to absolutely everybody. And he's, whenever you want me on, give me a ring, and, I'm almost embarrassed to do it, but I will do. And, we've got lots of good connections.
That's been the really cool thing is the guests. I mean, you can do this week in and week out with Colin all you want, but as soon as you get a really solid guest on, and it seems like every time you bring somebody on, they're all solid and they make the show that week. It really is a big deal. So getting Mickey Hazard, I've actually DM'd with him as well. he doesn't have Skype and doesn't know how to use it. So our logistical, you know, nightmare of 6 hours difference and trying to get people to have Skype and understand how to use it is a little bit difficult. When we had Julie Welsh on, she was an absolute hoot. And when I was basically going back and forth on Twitter with her, trying to help her set up Skype, it was the best 30 minutes of my life. And once we finally got her on, we had so much fun with her. So, the guests make it. It's so awesome. The community and you know, this past week we had Brad Friedel on, and somehow had a glitch in our recording and it didn't actually record.
Have you let him know? Or have you sort of said,
yeah, we've let him know. I know that he was really busy this week, with the international break. I think he was going to go vacation with his family and things like that. So listen, if he's able to do it again, great. If not, it's fine.
Casey Keller's always available, I think.
Yeah. I'd love to get DeAndre Yedlin and Cameron Carter-Vickers on, get the two U.S. internationals that are currently playing for Spurs on. That would be awesome. So, yeah. Brilliant. But yeah, it's been great. Yeah.
One final question for you.
Sure.
Right. So cricket, what do you know about cricket?
It's a little tiny insect. It's black. Makes a hell of a lot of noise. That's about all I know about cricket.
This is what I like to tell Americans about cricket, and it always blows their mind. I wonder if it was you. It will you. You see, you got your baseball there, okay? Which a lot of people compare to cricket. You know, it's quite slow, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, you can sort of go and get a ice cream, or you can go and get a slice of pizza, come back, and not much have changed, and what have you. How long does the average baseball game go on for?
Probably about close to 3 hours.
About three, a long game, right? How long do you reckon a cricket match goes on for?
I've heard they can last a week.
Five days.
5 days?
5 days. So a test match, which is a match between, you know, we have England, Australia, or whoever. A test match, it will last, it's 5 days, okay? And most games end in a draw.
Why bother?
and England mostly win when it's raining, because you can't play the rest of the match. It's brilliant. Cricket is just one of these games that Americans just can't get their head around, because they need the winner, they need the game to be short, lots of scoring, and all this. Right. And actually, it lasts 5 days. And by the way, that's only one of, they play five matches over about a month and a half, and each match is 5 days. So there you go, cricket.
I can't, you know, I have a lot of international sports channels, so I can watch a lot of different footy and rugby. Those are the two that I really watch.
Yeah.
But occasionally you'll get cricket matches that'll come on, or you'll, you know, and especially if it's big, like if India's playing Pakistan, or you know, Scotland and England are playing, or whatnot. And Australia, New Zealand, also very big into it. And when I watch it, I kind of get it when they hit the ball, and like, there's no foul. I guess you can hit it backwards if you wanted to, just about, and it's still in play. But it's just amazing to me. I don't understand any of it.
No, nor do I. But we play it. I mean, that's our summer sport at schools. We play cricket, we play rugby, football, mm-hmm. and what you'd call field hockey in the winter, mm-hmm. and then in the summer we play tennis, I guess, cricket, and a bit of athletics, bit of running.
Wow, how about that? It's just an amazing group of sports that
and it rains all the time.
And it rains all the time. It's like Seattle. There you go.
Yeah, and you're down in Dallas. No, south of Dallas, right?
You're just south of Dallas, about 30 miles.
Just about to get stuck into a big plate of ribs.
Just about. Yeah, I got a basket of chicken wings in the fryer. Ice cold beer, lots of ice for my Coke. It's going to be great.
Yeah, lovely. Ice cold beer. We like it warm over here. But
what a concept.
There you go. All right, mate. Lovely to chat to you. Listen, we'll have you on again, definitely. Listen, everybody go and listen to the Hotspurs America podcast. That's on iTunes, or just Google it. You've got to follow him on Twitter, which you run that, do you, the Twitter one?
Yeah, I run the Twitter account, at Hotspur America. We are on iTunes. Our base is through Spreaker, which is, we post those links periodically. So if you just come over to the Twitter page, give us a follow, you'll have all the links that you need if you want to take a listen to the show.
Fantastic. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.